What's up, everybody? You are now tuned in to the Grown As Fuck podcast. Let's go.
Right. I slept in it.
That is great. And then you do what most of us curly hair people do, is like try to straighten it.
Yes.
And then it's like,
we're sleeping a silk bonnet.
2 hours of straightening, you walk outside and it curls up and you're like, motherfucker.
Well, yeah, when I walk outside after after blowing my hair out and it rains, I'm just like, oh my God.
Well, I'm glad you didn't blow it out today because it looks fabulous.
Thank you.
I love your curly hair.
And these are the sleep dim curls.
Yes.
I gotta get the silk bonnet.
I can't sleep with shit on my head.
I sleep with so much shit on my head.
Really?
I have a silk bonnet. I have this diesel eye mask. Diesel.
Let me find out Christina's a black woman.
It's a little like.
I'm not sleeping with nothing on my
head. I got an eye mask and then I got earplugs. Oh man.
You got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Hey everybody. Welcome to Grown As Fuck. I'm Von D. Carlo, your host, and today we have one of my favorite people in the world. Yay, Christina Hutchinson is here.
I'm trying to be grown as fuck.
I'm trying to be my ass. She's a very funny comedian and very talented woman. You got so much going on. I don't even know where to start with you.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy you're here. You look great.
Me too. Thank you.
You look like you had a long night too.
I do. Yeah.
Well, I'm here. Give me coffee.
Yeah, I know. SNL party. The after party. I was there. Until like 4, which for me is pretty early.
Yeah, that bedtime for most comics I know, including myself, is like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Is that like a normal bedtime for you?
Yes. And then, but the second I get stressed about, I hope I go to bed, I'll never sleep and I'll just stay up the whole night.
Do you have sleep anxiety? Like you're up, not just scrolling, because we already know, being on the phone.
I know there's things that I do that either help or hinder my ability to fall asleep. And the scrolling absolutely hinders your ability to fall asleep. So I keep the phone away. Still, though, I'm up.
For me, I'm the complete opposite. When I scroll, it puts me to sleep.
It relaxes you?
It relaxes me.
What do you scroll through? Butterflies and forests?
Look, everybody's post is so boring as fuck.
Yeah.
It puts me to sleep. And no one's that interesting.
Shade. I like it. Name names.
I only follow comedians. I'm just kidding.
Blaming me too, yeah.
No, I mostly just follow comedians. But in a general sense of it all, scrolling, I'm like, okay. I think it hypnotizes me a little bit.
Wow, it doesn't do that to me. It's like, I don't know.
You get involved, you're like, yeah. You read everything.
I read like, the comments, I'm like, is anybody fighting in the comments section?
Next thing
it's like
you know,
WCW it's Raw.
3 days later, Christina's like commenting on people's pictures. You
yeah.
do that?
Well,
do
no, I don't comment on pictures anymore. I've bowed out of those battles. My life is a lot more peaceful. But I have Instagram stalked myself, and I'll just scroll to like the oldest photo, which is years ago, hundreds of photos. I'm like, oh my
I just
God.
Did that the other day. That's I think I showed you pictures when I was out with you. That was from me scrolling.
And oh.
I did an Instagram story because I'm like, look how long my hair was.
Oh, that's right. And it was so long. And you
that
scroll
was
back,
from
yeah.
me scrolling back several years ago before I cut my hair. And I cut my hair in like, I want to say 2015 or something.
To cut it this
way. So imagine how far I was scrolling back.
Wow. Yeah.
Before I got to... Oh, wow, my hair was all the way down my back. I'm an idiot. And now I'm doing Instagram stories at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Here's all my long hair pictures. And that's what I mean. None of us are that fucking interesting. Why are you following
but
me?
But we think we are. It's like, but...
Look at my hair.
Yeah. But we have the desire to be like, they need to see what my hair was like.
They need to see.
I need them to see it.
What I used to be.
Yeah.
I sucked. I still suck. I need to stop talking about my hair and my nails and my lipstick. Nobody cares. That's what I get out of Instagram.
I think people care.
Who cares?
You care.
Do you care about my hair?
I care about your hair because
I care about your hair.
Yeah, I want to know what you're doing and who you go to because your cut is really good.
I cut it myself.
The fuck?
Yes, I, being grown as fuck, have got,
that
especially in this
grown.
Industry, I have had to learn how to cut my own hair, do my own makeup, do my own nails.
Yeah.
I do everything
you
myself.
Did those?
I do everything myself because I'm
Smart.
So picky
yeah.
and so sick of spending money and giving people my goddamn money.
Yeah.
And they do these mediocre bullshit jobs.
And then you have to have...
And then you got to tip them.
Then you have to approach that conversation. I'm like, I don't like the job you did.
Exactly.
That's a terrible conversation to have.
Let me tell you something. When
I'll have it, but It's not great.
If I have the right like nail person, by the second time they do my nails, they know exactly what I want, and they do not want no smoke from me. You don't want this smoke, trust me.
Wow.
Because I'm not gonna be that one that just, oh, I'm not gonna say anything. She's not gonna like
me.
I think you don't like me already when I walk in the door.
Yeah.
So I've come to terms with the fact that you don't like me when I walked in. So do my goddamn nails right. But hair, I'll still go get my nails done if I have time.
Yeah.
But I've really had to learn how to do my own hair because...
Has someone royally fucked it up?
My hair is short.
Yeah.
Since 2015 because someone royally fucked my hair up.
That's why it's short?
Yes. Oh. I went in to get layers. Now, granted, I just wanted layers and I wanted highlights, blonde highlights.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
This motherfucker turned me into Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, shit.
But I have pictures. My hair was blonder than blonde. I
oh
was like,
boy.
Who asked for this?
Yeah.
I didn't look like the same person.
I always try to bring a picture reference.
I believe I show pictures. I just don't think she knew what she was doing.
You
don't go from solid platinum blonde when you ask for highlights, even if you don't show a picture.
That should never happen.
And then a couple days later, you know, my hair started falling out. It was overprocessed, and I was like cutting my hair shorter than what I intended. Cause I think I just did like a shoulder length. I just wanted like, you know, a lot had went on.
Yeah.
You know, I experienced a close person dying and
a hair change is like a perfect
way. It had already been a few years, but I was like going through a lot, you know, it's like a very blurry time for me, but I do remember in that moment feeling like I just need to do something different.
Yeah. Yep.
Girl, if you ever feel like you need to do something different.
Like good different.
Let your hair be the last thing that you need
to.
And then I discovered weaves and all. Not discovered. I already knew about weaves and braids. I already get my hair braided every summer. But I discovered the idea that should have already been in my head. That if I just want to feel something different, just wear a wig.
Yeah.
Get a weave.
Yeah.
I get my hair braided usually every summer since I was a little girl. So that's not nothing new.
Yeah.
For me, sporadically getting my hair braided or wearing faux locks or whatever, but I had never had a hair weave before.
Okay, up until this point.
And my hair kept falling out. I kept cutting it, all these different things. And then finally I was like, I'm just gonna put it away for a while. And that's how my hair got healthy. I wore weave. It was my real hair was braided up.
Did you get it sewn in or do you do it yourself?
No, I couldn't do that myself.
I know nothing about weaves, but I want to know things about weaves.
I couldn't do it myself. I don't know anything about them either. I know that that part of my life lasted about 4 to 6 months and then my hair was in a great place.
Okay, because by that time it grew back.
I've never had one again since.
Okay.
For me, I don't think they look very natural. You could always tell, even the best ones, you know. Like something is a little slanted here.
Yeah. I can only tell when somebody has a ponytail that goes down to their butt. I'm like, okay, that's not real.
Yeah.
It has to be so obvious to me.
I want to do ponytails, but I hate stuff in my head.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you sleep with all that. You said you sleep with stuff.
A bonnet, a silk bonnet, but there's no ponytail. If I had a ponytail, I'd wake up with a headache.
Yeah.
So sensitive. Such
Why are we talking about hair?
Because our hair. Because people, you know what? Something happened to me today that... I was like, I thought that only happens to black women touching people.
Oh my God,
I had touch my hair. I'm like, I cannot imagine being a black woman and having that happen all the time. Because it's only happened to me 3 times or whatever.
I had Allie
one
Brady.
By an old man. And I was like, the fuck? I don't know you. The fucking fingers off my scalp.
I had Allie Breenan, and we're close friends. And I had my faux locks in, and she came up to me. We were at the cellar. And she was like, oh my God, your hair. And I was like, bitch, you touched my hair. And then I had her in as a guest, and all of a sudden we have this whole cultural discussion that sparked all these different stereotypes. So I have to have her back in to talk about white people stereotypes.
Yeah.
But the reason I said, why are we talking about hair, is because I was so excited for you to come in because I know you relatively well. We've been cool with each other for the past few years, I would say. So we're new to each other. But one thing I do know about you is you are one of the most honest, forthright, will say whatever the fuck out of your mouth. And on your podcast, if I can't imagine people aren't familiar, because it's like you guys have like a cult following.
Kind of, yeah.
Guys We Fuck podcast. And if people listen to that, which I'm sure they do, you just say shit.
Yeah.
I thought that I was one of the most honest people and like the most giving of my personal life until I met you. And I'm like, really? You're going to talk about that out loud? Like right now, today? You're not even going to process this shit?
That's how I process it. That's my problem.
That's one of the things I wanted to explore with you, because for me, especially as a comic, I take a lot of personal stuff to the stage.
Yeah.
Everything I talk about is personal.
Yeah.
But I have to process it first.
Oh, you're not me.
You just jump right in there like, this happened about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
I could do that if I got catcalled and something happened like 20 right. minutes, and then like, who? Joke, stage, boom, it worked. I got a new joke. You'll take something deeply
upsetting,
disgustingly personal.
Yeah.
And yeah. then be like, hey, this happened 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, wait.
You saw me do that. You saw me do that on that stage, basically.
Yeah, I saw you do that recently.
At SNS Bar.
And I was thrilled watching you. But not just on stage. You do it openly on your podcast. And I just wanted to talk about being a person. And where does that come from?
It comes from my... It comes from my inability to process things on my own.
Okay.
Because I need to say them out loud to another person, or just out loud in general. I live alone and I talk to myself all the time. just to try and get through something. A lot of times when I say it on stage, the reaction I get is very indicative of where I could go with it. So if people are like, ooh, that's uncomfortable, I'm like, ooh. And depending on the mood I'm in, I'm like, good, it fucking should be uncomfortable. Now I'm gonna make you way more uncomfortable. I don't know. I like that. I like that because I'm new to my own feelings. I don't really know what they are. And so that's why when I have a feeling that I can articulate, I just fucking let it out. Because I'm like, I know that one, that feeling.
So what do you mean by that? I'm new to my feeling. Because me, as a self-proclaimed empath,
yeah,
I feel like I have been in touch with my feelings since birth. And not just in touch with my feelings, but in touch with everybody's goddamn feelings. Like, get your feelings off of me.
And it's exhausting. And
it's very exhausting.
It's very exhausting. It's a very exhausting existence to know how somebody across the room that you don't even know is feeling.
You just feel it.
I hate it.
You feel that as well.
Yeah, but honestly, that distracts me from my own feelings. So that's why I can concentrate on that, somebody else's stuff. But more so, the thing that I'm trying to come to terms with is in relationships. If I'm dating a guy and he's treating me like crap, it really, the turnaround time for me to go, yeah, no, I'm not accepting this, is long.
Yeah.
And so I'm really trying, and every time I find myself in a situation like, he did it to me again and I knew it, I'm hoping to eventually not even need to get there. And so I can speak up in the moment and be like, no, we're not, this is not, I've noticed your red flags and I'm not into this. You're not allowed around me.
We do that all the time. I don't know, I wouldn't say it's just women, because men do it too when they stumble upon someone that they're in love with for whatever, obsessed with for whatever reason. I think we as people, we always ignore red flags. But if you're like me, I don't ignore them all the way. I put them in my pocket for later.
Yeah.
So I'm like building a case against you in my back pocket. Because these red flags, we know that they're there. We suppress them a little bit because we're like, oh, well, no one's perfect.
Which is true.
And then
I'm not perfect.
When I realize that you're not perfect, I'm not perfect, but you're definitely not perfect for me. So now I'm going to pull all of this stuff out of my pocket and I'm going to go, and.
Yeah, I dealt with
this, this.
I didn't say anything about that.
This,
I let that slide.
I let that slide.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing you ever let slide?
Oh my God. Ugh. So that's a great question and one that might take an hour to answer. The worst thing, I would say being obsessed with the ex. The other person is like idolizing the ex to me. And I let that, like,
the person that you're with
was
idolizing their ex?
And they're like missing their ex to me.
Oh no!
I feel as though I've graduated from that and that will never happen again, because the second that happens again, been there too many times. Go to therapy or go talk to your friend.
Wow. This is not so you were in a relationship with someone that was constantly talking.
Or like developing a relationship with somebody who was constantly talking about the ex, the ex. I'm like, dude, I couldn't give a shit. I got to be honest with you.
Wow.
And it's really, truly annoying that you're telling me about this. Go tell someone else. People like telling me things, and
I was
great.
Gonna say, I can
but
relate
men,
to that.
But men, if they're dating me, shut the fuck up with that shit.
I could relate to people feeling like they could tell you anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you
I'm
have
not judgmental.
That spirit. You're not judgmental. You have a good ear. You're a good listener. You give great advice. That's why people can come to you. But within your relationship,
yeah,
it's like
it's got to be different rules. Can't
but
come to me with all this shit.
On the flip side of that, would you appreciate the honesty of that person?
Yes.
You at least know where you're at.
Yeah.
With that person. You're not confused. You're not like, I wonder if he's obsessed with his ex because he keeps
talking about her.
Well, not keep talking. What if he wasn't talking about her? What if you didn't know at all and this was just something he held deep down inside of him and you never knew?
I've never been in a situation like that. I don't know.
So that's the question. Would you appreciate the honesty of that more than him keeping it hidden? And then you're married with 2.5 kids and a fence around a nice house. And you're like, why does his ex
I would like to
here?
Know what the wounds are. I would like to be familiar with the wounds.
I want to be familiar with the wounds, but I don't want to always hear about the damn wounds.
Just give me an overview. Give me the hits. And then we can move on. And then be
this
in this
is your issue list.
Yeah, yeah. And then now it's back to us. It's just us.
So now. How long did that last in your relationship?
The last one, I wouldn't call it a relationship, but it was that conversation probably lasted for almost a year.
How long had he been broken up with her? Was it a recent breakup?
Yeah, very recent. Yeah, so that's why, and that's why I'm like, yo, I get it. Mine was recent too. And then my ex tried to sue me, and I was like, well, this just keeps getting more fun. So obviously I'm going to talk about that, but...
You don't want to talk about that, or you...
I would talk about that to the person I was dating at the time.
Oh, okay.
I'd be like, yo, my ex is trying to sue me for $130,000.
Well, yeah, that's something to talk about, not like, oh, I miss my ex.
Oh, yeah, but I don't miss him, so, yeah. But the other person missed his, and that's because they had a nice relationship.
And she broke up with him?
I don't know. I don't know the circumstances of that. But I just know that, you know, it wasn't like, yeah, this makes sense to break up. Okay, see ya. It was like, it was sad.
It was mutual. It was sad. It was, we're just not meant for each other. Girl, bye.
Probably like that, yeah.
Yeah, I get all of that.
With my breakup, I broke up with him. Mm-hmm. And he claimed to not see it coming, even though eventually I found out that he did. Because his friends and family were like, yeah, you got to step it up or she's going to leave you. And they were right.
Bad breakups... obviously you're not going to be friends, so there's no issues there.
Yeah.
But if it's a mutual, mature breakup and you just got to a place with someone where it's like, okay, I get it. We should just be friends.
Yeah.
We're no harm, no foul. You know, love you. Love you too. Okay.
Yeah,
see you around.
That sounds nice.
That's nice. But what is the level of that friendship after that? What is the level of involvement after that? Then that could become questionable.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting around talking about, oh, I miss this person, well, go ahead and figure that out.
Right. Here's my problem. Maybe you can give me advice. I wind up in these situations where I let people treat me in a way that I realize later, wait, that's not how I want to be treated. So, and then I'll fall for them. And then I just wait around. It's so bad. Yeah. Actually, I only ended up in this situation once, and it was very recently, as you know. And I'm so perplexed by it. But I'm like, I feel like I just need a guard up, and I need to not tell people shit and let them in right away. They got to earn it. They got to dance around.
Absolutely, you have to earn. We're very similar.
Yeah.
I have the same issues. But I had to come to a place where I'm like, I value myself way more than what this could potentially bring to me. Because what we're doing when we're doing that, when we're like...
assessing the situation.
Oh, but wait. We're leaning on that hope that...
Oh, my God. Give me one little speck of hope that you can only see under a microscope and I'll wait in the rain.
You can have hope, but you can't have hope above your own self-respect.
Yes, exactly.
And that's where it gets a little shady, because when you really like someone and you really want to be with someone,
yeah,
you are making all these excuses for the red flags.
Oh, hell yeah. Yep.
And you're acting like you don't see this, and you're making excuses for that. And then you're basically building yourself up for maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
Or nah, he ain't shit.
Yeah, yeah, that was that. But when I get there, but it's taken so much for me to get there that by the time I'm done with you, I hate you.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
I hope I go to the grave without ever seeing your seedy
like
little eyes.
I hope
I never hear a tune from your mouth.
Let me tell you what that is. I realize what that is about me. And we ain't having a mutual breakup. I'm gonna break your whole life.
Ooh, I'll read that book.
You're trying to protect yourself.
It's
a defense mechanism to say.
For making up for not protecting yourself.
Nope.
The whole time.
Nope.
That's
nope.
Mine.
Nope. And you might agree with me when I say this, because I found this out about myself. The reason I have to burn the bridge is because I'm too weak. You might walk across it again.
Yeah.
I might let you back in. And I know I shouldn't. All of these red flags are here and I keep ignoring them. And if I let you walk across this bridge, I'm going to hear you out.
Yes, yes,
So I have to burn the bridge.
How do you burn it?
I have what my grandmother calls a sharp tongue. And I will say, deliberately say things that I know you can't recover from.
Oh, shit.
I know that I can say things that can cut so deep that you are not going to want to talk to me.
That's a great idea.
No, don't do that. That's mean.
But the things that I have in my head that I want to say in this situation.
It's not mature. You should be strong enough.
If I'm on my deathbed and I'm like, was I too immature? I'm not going to give a shit. You know what I mean? Because I'm learning how to communicate, and I'm learning what feelings come from old wounds. And what feelings are actually this person's problem.
I'm learning that too.
That's a really dicey little game I play.
It is hard to discover and it's hard to find. And it's really hard to be so accountable for yourself.
Yeah.
That you can see your wrongs and where you fell short.
Yeah.
And still do it again.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I know I'm doing this thing again.
This person,
Why am I doing this thing again?
Like, enrages me so much. His existence is something that is not pleasant for me to think about.
Which?
So the last person that you were there, like, that I was telling you about.
Oh, we're at that level?
Yeah.
You're at enraged, I hate him level?
Yes. The amount of things that...
I was just at the email level last time.
Oh, no. It's because I think about, like, and he did this, and I'm like...
Oh, you're now, adding, you're pulling everything out the pocket, like, and
right.
he did this, and he did this,
he already did
this,
the thing. So that, he
no,
already
nothing
did the,
new.
But I'm like, I look back and I go, and then he said, maybe stand-up isn't my thing, and I'm like...
What?
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I ever let
slide. Oh, you should have cut his foot off when he said that and stuck it in his mouth. I don't advocate violence. But you should have...
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have this thing where if I'm seeing somebody, I don't want them to see me do stand up because I'm a strong performer, but I can be a little bit influenced if there's a specific person in the room.
That's because you're picking up on their energy.
Yes.
I don't want that.
And so I don't want him in the room to stand up. And then this person had come to one of my stand up shows, didn't tell me he was coming. And I saw him and I was like, oh, hey, what's up? And then I did my set, but it was a little off because I was like thrown off by that. And then he was like, I don't know if stand-up's your thing. And I was like he said it as a one-off, but I was like,
wow.
Oh, you not only,
see,
this can't,
if you
this can't happen.
How long ago, if you would have told me that,
I
would have been, I would have found every way possible to tell you to get away from him.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I didn't want to, I was like, maybe he was kidding.
That's, I hate when we do that.
I know.
Because it's like, it's right there.
Yeah.
Maybe he was kidding. Maybe he was.
Totally.
However, that's something to explore. If a man says that to me, I'm exploring it right now. I'm not going to say, what do you mean by that? And where are we going with this? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. No, I should.
You have to support me.
And that's what I'm learning how to do. But here's the good news. I'm in this really fucking beautiful space right now. After I... told the person how I felt, and now I'm like, oh, I fucking hate that motherfucker. He, like, you know, love and hate are so close together.
Yeah.
Because I also really love him.
It is the exact same emotion.
Yeah. And so, but I'm like, oh, like, he just doesn't, I know we're spending too much time talking about him, but like,
no, we're just
his
talking.
Presence is not even in my bones anymore. Like, he's not even a thought in my brain, like my day to day. And I, it's the craziest thing.
He's not a thought in my bones, but I'm a just kidding.
But I hate him.
No. I hate him.
No. But it's this weird thing where, like, I felt like I let go of some old bullshit. And now, like, that night I went out with my friends. It was the next night. And I just felt like just better and lighter and like, oh, like something I really cared about that upset me is gone now. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And men were hitting on me left and right.
You said that
never happened. No, but that doesn't happen to me.
We are so much alike. You opened your energy up into it.
Yes.
When you are with someone or you are interested in someone, whether you're just dating or in a full-fledged relationship, all of your energy goes to that person.
Yeah.
So that feeling that it's shut down. People aren't approaching you because you're not open to it.
Right.
And you're projecting that.
It was so cool to feel really great. And then have guys like run up to me like, what's your name? I'm like, what the fuck? Am I like on a set? It was bizarre, but I was like, oh, this makes sense because I feel my hands are fucking clean of that bullshit.
Yeah,
and
it's
so nice.
Too, I think it's not that you hate him. You hate what you allowed
him
to do.
Oh, yeah.
So now that's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
So now with all of these other potential men.
And I'm no longer stuck on why would somebody do that to me? It's like, fucking who cares? Like, it's not.
Because you let them.
Right.
Every time I ask myself, why would they do that? The answer usually comes back around to
you
because
allowed
you
it to
let them.
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to not do? Because they're just being them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just being who they are. And like the old saying goes, when someone shows you who they are,
believe them. That is the goddamn truth.
Oh,
no, but this
so
is good. It's hard, but it's okay. Like, I don't know. I feel rejuvenated. I really feel rejuvenated. I was really upset, and like the way that I was being treated really, really upset me. I think possibly more than I let on to like my friends. And it's because I knew it was wrong the whole time.
Right.
So to finally go, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
It feels so good.
It feels great. And one thing that I have said to my daughter, I say to friends, I say to myself, is remember this feeling.
Yeah.
Remember not just how good it feels to get out of that, but because we all get stuck in patterns, right?
Of course.
We always end up in these, like, how am I letting this happen again? It's because we get out of it and then we forget how low we were.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
How disgusting that list. Don't put it away.
No.
I mean, put it away. But
well,
don't
yeah.
put it so far away that
it's
when you
reachable.
Look at the new list of what someone else did.
Yeah.
You were like,
wait a second.
Wait a minute. This was number one on a list of making me feel unworthy, disgusting, lowered my self-esteem. And then I let this guy do it?
Yeah.
What, I didn't learn? Or I just like feeling like shit?
Yeah. I it's so funny. This one took me off guard because I've never had a guy treat me that way, ever. Or I've never let, like, I guess no one's ever been that much of a, hey, don't come near me. And I'm like, that's okay. Like, that's really what it was. So it's like, we're both like, I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I've never had somebody that dangerous that I date or that I sleep with. And so
dangerous in what sense? Like emotionally?
He will not protect me at any, and I know it's my responsibility. However, I guess the men that I've used to date are very protective over me and like care about and just very like, I don't know, the masculine feminine and energy is really,
I love
that. I've never not had that except for that last time. And so I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Yeah.
And if that was something that you were used to, why do you think that?
I wasn't used to it, I just got used to it with this person.
No, you were used to being protected.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
For me, there's certain things that I walk in a door, like I know A, B, and C. If A, B,
like
and
what?
C isn't there, I'm not gonna be attracted to this person.
Oh, you're talking about qualities.
Like if you're, the qualities of a man, like being a protector, a provider, you know?
Yeah.
Cover me, baby. Cover me. If you're not that, I already know you ain't. I couldn't possibly be attracted to you.
Right.
So how did he
get past that? He was acting like that at the beginning, I think. But that's, I don't want to spend any more time talking about this particular person because it feels psycho. It's so fresh on my mind, but I'm like, okay.
Well,
I'm move on.
For whatever it's worth,
yeah.
I don't feel like we're talking about this person.
I think we're talking about
the circumstance and relationships in general. Yeah. So the reason I kept digging into it is because it seems like something that somebody who's listening or watching would be able to relate to and learn from because you've gotten through it.
Yeah.
Oh, right?
So good. I feel so good. So that's true. If anybody is in like the swamps of it all.
Right.
Thinking that they can't get out or it's not gonna be good when they get out. It is.
And it's like when we hold on to that.
Just let it go.
Hope.
It's in your wake. Dan Soder told me once. I think I was like fending to him about something, and he was like, all that shit, it's in your wake. Like when you're on a boat and the waves that it creates in the back of the boat, that's your wake. That's the wake of the boat.
I like that.
All of your bullshit, put it in your wake. Look forward. I'm like, yo.
Look at Dan Soder. Like, comedians are geniuses.
Yes.
We are the therapists.
Yes, we really are. Yeah, him and I get lunch every so often, and he's so emotionally intelligent, and I love talking to him because we have a lot in common. And that one thing he said, I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep that with me for a while.
That is good.
Yeah.
And I know you're a huge advocate of therapy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yes, I just came from therapy, and I'm going back. Now, but have you always been in therapy?
No.
Or like,
I've had such traumatic shit happen to me, and then I was not doing well in college, and I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't drinking. I was pretty straight laced in college, actually. But I wasn't I wasn't doing any of the assignments. I was just sitting there not doing anything. And I'm like, what the fuck is my problem? And then I think I mentioned to one of my professors who was like yelling at me, like, what is your problem? What's wrong with you? I was like in a depression. And I was like, well, my mom tried to kill herself 2 years ago, and I was on the phone with her, and she was like, whoa, 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 what the fuck? Go to therapy. And I was
like, she just blurt stuff out. Like,
yeah.
Like it's normal.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, it happened to me, and it's not ringing a bell as like, go to therapy, but maybe if I say it out loud and someone's like, ooh, go to therapy,
right,
I will go to therapy. So that was the first time that I had done it since I was 16, but that I don't really count that. And they do intake. The place I went to has an intake appointment. So you have an initial intake appointment. You tell the person all of your stuff. And then they pair you with somebody. And I got paired with this woman. And at the end of the session, I was like bawling. And she goes, well, now I know why they placed you in the trauma unit. And I was like, trauma? What the fuck does that mean? And now I know what trauma, like, no, I feel like I have a PhD in childhood trauma. I now know what it means. And I cannot believe my ass was only in therapy. Has only been in therapy for that amount of time. I should have been in therapy for a very long time.
I've never been in therapy, and I have every reason why I should have been in therapy since birth.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I just burped. That was gross. did you smell that? Did you hear it? But I know whenever I talk to you, I'm always so inspired.
Yeah.
By you're like, oh, I went to therapy today.
Well, because when I learned, like, wait, this shit isn't normal. What the fuck? Like, it's not normal to not know what kind of mom you're going to get when she wakes up in the morning when you're a child, or to have your mom disappear first, you know, she's in the hospital, but you don't know that. Like, and then just having a parent with a mood disorder is as a baby, as a sensitive soul. I am a sensitive Pisces.
Yeah.
I pick up on everything. I've been like that since I was a goddamn baby. And that on top of all of that, it's like, oh, I never.
So you're carrying around the burdens of your mom's energy and disorders and everyone.
And I'm just focused on how can I help you? And then that you grow up and you go, oh, I don't even know what I want.
And you just hit the nail right on the head. And I think that's my problem. I am the exact same way. How can I help you has been the theme of my whole life.
Yeah.
So when I think about going to therapy, I think, and this is stupid, but I'll admit it, one of the things that hold me back is in the back of my mind, I think that I'm going to be paying someone to help them. Like, we're going to start talking. Yeah. I think we're going to start talking, and then they're going to start unloading their stuff on me, and then I'm going to be helping them through all of their stuff.
They're professionals. They won't do that.
Honestly, I think I'm smarter than the professional. I said this is absurd.
You will. Hey.
But that's my thought.
Finding a therapist is like dating. You're not going to hit the nail on the head the first time. So if you just keep that in mind, you might hate
well,
the first.
Well, my pockets ain't that deep.
Well, I'm just saying, like, but there's a lot of therapy places. Like, that one I went to in Lincoln Square, it's an intake appointment, and it's based on your income. So you only pay, it's all sliding scale.
So you're just going to have to slide to the bottom.
You only pay
of
what you
scale.
Can, but the therapists are really good. And they pair you with somebody after having an initial appointment. So I think, I don't know, I think you would like that. But some people don't, it's not they don't need therapy, but maybe it wouldn't help you. But I will say, as somebody who's always like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? What can I do for you? It's weird to have a lady, I don't know shit about her. Mm. It feels very uncomfortable.
I passed my burp to you. See, you're so sensitive. You picked up on my burp as a hiccup. One of the things I told my daughter when I was talking to my daughter about, you know, therapy and what therapists are and the stigmas behind it and what people believe that they are and why people don't go. One of the things that I wish I could take my own advice. One of the things, like, because I always find ways to describe things to my daughter in like metaphoric kind of ways.
Yeah.
So. And I believe, I can't remember the exact conversation, but I believe she has some of the same stigmas that I probably passed down to her about what therapists are and what they can do for you. And she has a lot of self-awareness as well, just like I have a lot of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I already know these things, but here's the key. You're not qualified. Like you said, they're a professional.
Yeah.
So the way I described it to my daughter, I said, well, you know, like in ballet, because she was, you know, in dance her whole life.
Yeah.
Like you, someone may know what it feels like to move a certain way or have these abilities to dance, but there's an instructor there for a reason to give you pointers, how to practice, how to do it correctly.
Yeah.
So you may be aware of how to point your toes, but that doesn't mean that you're pointing your toes correctly and how you should be doing it.
Yeah.
And that, I just feel like that sounds really stupid now that I'm saying it out
loud. No, I get that.
It made sense at the time.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah.
You were looking at me like, just keep going until I understand what the fuck you're talking about.
No. I totally get what you're talking about. Okay. I totally get what you're talking about. It's guidance.
It's like a
teacher. Guidance through your own brain.
They'll give you guidance.
Yeah.
And a breakdown of how, if this is what's going on in your life, try A, B, and C.
Right. I think the reason, the other thing I would add to this, but I think this might be specific to trauma therapists, because I work with a woman who specifically like deals with trauma, and one of the things that is so it's so frustrating and infuriating about somebody who's had trauma is the behaviors that you exhibit as an adult, and your adult self does not want to be acting this way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be yelling at this person. I don't want to behave this way. This is not how you know, you can fucking choose your personality. You mold who you are.
You can choose your personality?
Yeah. If based on what you want. So that's part of your personality. Meaning like, you know, I feel like your temperament.
I choose Beyonce.
Yeah.
Can I
That's
choose
a great
Beyonce?
Choice.
Because Beyonce is so graceful and so,
yes.
I had a bit. I
She's
think I
did
it when we were in Montreal.
Yeah.
On
Kevin
True
Hart.
TV.
Oh yeah, the true thing, yeah.
Oh no, wait, where were we? Was it Montreal? I don't know. Wherever I was. I have a thing where I say I'm refined ratchet. Wherever
I did that bit. Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. I was like, I try to be that graceful Beyonce, but that Solange bitch in the elevator keeps jumping out at people and I'm like,
yeah.
Refined ratchet. So when you say you could choose your personality, I choose Beyonce a lot.
Well, you choose
but
your
I come
influence.
Up.
Yeah. It doesn't always come out
as
that way.
As a neck-shaking ass salon.
But because you are
all
unique, you are a unique individual, so you're going to take things that you admire and respect from other people or you observe in the wild, like in day-to-day life, that you're like, oh, I really love that quality. I would like to emulate it. You know what I mean? In your own way. You're not just stealing someone's shit. So, yeah, when I go to therapy, I'm like, yo, this is the shit I do. That's some bullshit, and I don't want to do it anymore. And then she helps me go, this is why you did that. And this is when you're actually reacting to, like, a guy in a really extreme way, and you feel triggered by him, like, psychologically triggered by him, the emotions that are coming up are from an old wound from when you were, for example, 6 years old, and you're feeling it as if you were six right now, and you're not only that, it's a little bit stronger because you're an adult now, and you're gearing it towards this person who didn't do anything.
Right, but I already know that. Like, I
That's
know
good. I don't.
That I find, I empathize with everyone, and I always make, like, the excuses for my abuser.
Yeah.
Because of what happened to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'll make excuses for it was because of this, or he was on drugs.
Right.
I line up the excuses, getting back to the relationship stuff.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I have a whole line of shit where it's like, those red flags were there, but I was making excuses, and I know that comes from what happened to me when I was a
right,
kid. Because that was the first thing I did, was make excuses.
A child's brain cannot handle the possibility and the giant emotion that comes with the fact that the realization that the person who's supposed to raise me and care for me and give me food and shelter is harming me. That a child's nervous system cannot comprehend that adult of an emotion. And so what happens is the child, it's this crazy fucking system wiring we have in our brains where they go, it has to be me, because if it's me, I can do something about it. So even if you're a fucking baby, like, that's the craziest thing. My therapist reminds me of this all the time. Like, it's just, I beat myself up about this, you know, continuing these behaviors, and she's always like, whoa, 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 your nervous system was such, every week she tells me the same story, and I go, one day it's gonna stick. Your nervous system was trained to believe that you had the ability to make your mom happy enough to raise you and be present with you. Mm. That just wasn't the case, but that's what you believed, because if you didn't believe that, you would die. And then she was telling me about, there was this epidemic in World War II. So many men and women had to go off to war, and all of these babies wound up in foster care. And the babies, they weren't able to be tended to the way a baby needs, obviously food and sleep, but also, a
touch.
Baby needs to see if a
love.
Yes, that is necessary for the baby to develop its nervous system. And babies in World War II, she told me this, I've yet to look it up, but she's a very smart lady, so I do believe her, that babies would die of abandonment.
Oh, I believe it.
They're getting the food they need, but they were dying because there was no one there to connect with them.
Oh, absolutely. That we are not
like,
created to be alone.
Dude.
We are not created to be alone at all.
No, and I don't want to be alone ever. Like, I like being alone. But I had to come to terms with, like, okay, it's good to be alone, like, physically alone, live alone. I love it. But I also, like, we're social creatures. And
Hot spot question for you.
Oh, God.
Hot spot question. It's in two parts.
Okay.
One, would you redate this person if he went to therapy?
He is in therapy.
Also, no. His therapy ain't working.
Well, it's sometimes shit takes a second to sink in, and sometimes people, they claim to want to see it, and then they don't actually want to see it.
Right. That was a joke hotspot question.
Yeah.
I was messing with you.
No,
I know you're not going to date him again, and if you do, I'm going to throw salt all over
right.
it.
Right. Well, that's why I'm like, oh, that burning that bridge shit, that's good advice. Because
no, that could be very mean. Don't be mean. Oh,
no, I don't want to be mean. No, I don't want to be mean.
I don't want to perpetuate meanness.
You know, when I adore somebody, it says that takes a second to go away. It just takes time. You just gotta.
Yeah. The real hotspot question for you is, how long are you going to go being single before you jump into another relationship?
I can't predict that. I don't know.
No, don't predict it. Like, what are you going to set a goal of? This is how long I'm going to
like
be
wait to
with
have sex?
Myself. Yeah.
Oh,
all of that.
Yeah, because first step one.
She's like, I had sex 15 minutes before I got here.
No, No, that's done for me for a while.
Okay, so you are pulling back. From
yes,
sex.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you like me? I was talking
I'm
about
back
this
from
on another podcast with another guest. As soon as you penetrate me, I'm like, I do. We're married. We're together. Like, what do you?
Yeah.
So I know for me, I'm not just a frivolous, just casual sex person. Are you like that?
No. I wish I was.
Me too.
Yeah.
I just want to have sex.
I know. But I'm not like that. So, and that's okay. But I think for right now, actually, I actually have it in my head that the next couple months I'm going on the road a bunch. The next 2 months,
no road sex either.
No,
I don't
do that. No. When I go on the road, I do not. That's not. I focus on the comedy and the local hotspots of wherever I am.
Yeah.
And that's enough. And then when I get back, I'm taking a trip to Ireland by myself, traveling solo for 12 days. So excited. I've never been to Ireland.
I
always wanted to go since I was
a
kid.
That sounds crazy.
Never traveled by myself.
No.
I'm really excited. When I get back from that, that's going to be one of the last places I travel. I'm getting a dog.
A dog?
Yeah.
So you're basically having a baby?
Yeah, sure.
Oh my God.
But it's a dog.
Maybe a cat.
No.
Because cats are more independent. You're going to have to like leave comedy shows to go home to walk your dog.
Yeah,
how are you going to travel on a weekend?
I'm going to bring the dog. My therapist.
You're going to be one of those dog people on a plane. I'm allergic. Christina.
I'm not doing this to piss you off.
Don't sit next to me on a plane. Now I'm pissed. We can't be friends.
My therapist was like, you need a therapy dog.
Emotional support dog person.
Yeah, but I have panic attacks and dog, like
so I have allergies. Now I got to die because of your panic attacks.
No, that's you really took it there. It's not at all. No. If someone was allergic to the dog, then I probably wouldn't go on the plane. Or like fucking leave the dog at home. It's okay.
Someone on the plane is allergic to the dog, and it's probably me.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind. I don't want to piss people off. No. Now I feel bad.
No,
and that's annoying.
9 out of 10 people who's watching this are pissed off at me for being allergic. They're not pissed
but that's
off
not
at
your fault.
You for the dog.
It's not
but
your
that's
fault.
How the world works.
Ideally, I'm not flying with a dog. I'm leaving it at a friend's house because my comedy partner has a dog, and I see the way that she's like people come to her house for the weekend, and it seems to work really well. So that's probably what I'm gonna do.
And I'm never coming to your house again.
Wow.
No, I'll literally blow. I'm allergic to the dander.
Wow.
So it's in the air. As soon as I walk in, I'll like itch and blow up.
What about a hypoallergenic
asthma,
dog?
Pump. No, there's no such thing for a person who's allergic to dander. That's for people that are allergic to fur. And that they need to educate people on.
Yeah.
Because that's the first thing that people say to me. Oh, it's hyperallergenic.
Yeah,
no.
That shit doesn't matter.
So
what happens
every
when
animal,
you're...
they have dander.
Wait, there's dogs everywhere. Like on the streets.
Well, it's more open space.
Right.
You're talking about coming into a close place.
So when you come into
like
somebody's
an apartment
house
or an airplane where it's limited air
what
circulating,
happens?
I break out in hives.
Oh my God.
My eyes water, my nose close, and I have to get my asthma pump because I start coughing and having asthma attacks.
Yeah. That's terrible.
I get my arms turned red.
Yeah. Wait, can you give yourself an hour? Nothing works?
There are allergy injections. I'm not going to spend like getting
allergy
injections
shots.
So that I could be around other people's dogs. I had 2 dogs that I had to get rid of because
you were allergic.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't.
Oh.
I mean, I'm happy that you're going to have a dog. I'm happy you're traveling. I'm happy you have all these plans.
Yeah.
And I would love for you to spend time with yourself and do what you're doing and take your time because I told you when I made that decision that I'm not going to have like casual sex. I'm not going to like just.
I don't want to fuck around.
I'm not going to fuck around.
I have no
interest. I'm going to have sex with someone. I'm going to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my time. I was single for years, but during
what a
the
great
years,
period, though.
No. I was single for 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
But during that time, I was doing all kinds of shit.
Right.
I was tripping and falling in a lot of people's bed.
Yeah.
It was like I was doing all kind of messy shit. And then I came to terms with, this is not me.
Yeah.
This is not working for me. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And then once I came to that decision and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I was just focused on me. I was just not doing anything for almost a year. It was like 9 or 10 months, like pushing a year. I wasn't having sex. I wasn't dating anyone. I was by myself. And then.
Sounds fun.
It was, but it gets lonely. But you get stronger in those lonely moments where it's like, like I said earlier,
I can soothe myself.
I remember how horrible I felt when I was doing all this messy shit.
Yeah.
So am I going to trade in feeling horrible so that I'm not lonely for a moment? And then feel horrible again, and I told myself no.
Yeah.
So I cuddled up with a few donuts instead of dick, and
nice.
You know, then I met someone, and we started dating. July 2018.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then we dated for a while, and now we're in a relationship.
Yeah.
But look how long it took before I'm now in a relationship.
Right, totally.
You know what I mean?
And I think having, like, I always, for career, I have goals in mind. I have a step-by-step thing. I think about exactly how I want to execute all of these things. And it goes well. I never apply that for dating. And I'm like, oh, I got to apply that same mentality. And
yes.
So the mentality now is, because I don't want to do a more year of fuckery. My heart is, I'm too sensitive.
My whole,
I don't enjoy it.
Like 2017.
I'm good.
Into, I started dating the person that I'm with now, like I said, like July 2018.
Yeah.
So that would mean somewhere like 2017 is where I made that decision and into the next year. Mm-hmm. And I killed 2018. It was great.
You really did, yeah.
But I just had to come to terms with, like I said, I'm not looking for my keys anymore. You know how when you're looking for your keys, you can't find them, you're panicked, you're all over the place. And then when you calm down and
you're just
chill,
like, oh, your keys are right there.
Your keys are right there.
Yes.
And that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And you know.
And that's how I feel now, truly. And yeah, it's
that's why
so,
I asked you that. Like, how long
so
are you
exciting.
Gonna give yourself
to yourself? Yeah, as much time as I want. I don't know.
And then by the time that person comes around, you are sitting there like okay, your red flags.
Right. And you're like, oh, I protected myself.
Because the person I'm with now isn't the first person I started dating once I was like, okay, I'm open to start dating.
Was the first
He's
person?
He's not the first person that I started dating once I came out of, oh, okay, I think I can start dating again.
Right.
But once I started dating again, I was like, red flag.
Yeah, and you can see it.
No one's perfect and everybody has red flags and things to deal with.
Of course.
But the decision within yourself is, what am I going to deal with and what am I not going to deal with? What's workable, what's not workable?
Yeah.
What's a deal breaker and what's not? And I'm not going to play these games with myself.
Right.
That something isn't a deal breaker when it is.
Yeah.
If it's a deal breaker, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I had a list. I made a list. And this isn't the first time I did this. But
I made a list.
It was like 72 or 73 things on this list of what I want this person to be. Like,
wow.
I was very detailed.
Ooh.
And this person has like 70 of the 73.
Wow.
Like 72 of the 73.
It's like, but that's like, you know,
almost
that's...
everything on the list. And it was two things that he doesn't have, but and the two things was like, I was being petty.
Yeah.
I was like, well,
oh, manifest destiny, man.
It was like, no, I'm not going to say what it was.
Oh, come
so
on.
Mean. Well, one of the things on the list was, your mom has to already be passed because I don't want to deal with mamas.
You're like, Corinne.
Hating on me.
Corinne's like, if your mom has died, that is a plus for me.
But his mom isn't. Past his mama's great, his mama's
so
sweet.
Great.
I love his
mom,
she likes me, it's cool.
Yeah,
but I was like, that's kind of petty. I could like do with that on a list.
Yeah,
you know
I will
mean?
Say that's been on other women's lists. So
yeah,
you're not,
it's
yeah.
past trauma, it's past experiences where you go,
yeah,
well, let me just put this on here.
Yeah, if you
but
can write anything down,
it wasn't
your
a
list.
Deal breaker.
Yeah,
now another thing that was on the list was must already have kids and they must be adults and he must have a son. I was very specific. One, because I don't plan on having more children.
Yeah.
My daughter is an adult, so I'm not raising your little baby.
Yep.
So I don't want you to have young kids.
Yep.
And I would love for you to have an adult kid around my daughter's age.
Yeah.
And I specifically said a son because I don't believe men when they say they don't want a son.
Right.
So he could have had an adult daughter.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, deal breaker. He's going to want a son. He's going to try to get me pregnant.
Oh, okay.
Like, nope. He's going to want kids.
Yeah.
He's going to think that he could change my mind.
Man.
So I was
that's
so specific.
That's a plan ahead list. This is a good list.
So specific.
You have to be.
He has a son.
That's perfect.
That's around my daughter.
Because
age.
Once you go,
yes.
This is what I want. This is what I want to have. It's science. It shows up at some point.
Yeah. So.
Cool. Wow.
Yay.
That's very cool. I'm very excited to take this year and just be happy and explore the world.
Perfect timing to do our what you not gonna do's.
Oh yeah.
Grown as fuck, great.
Oh.
You want me to go first? Because
yeah.
I know you got a bunch.
Yeah, I got a shitload.
I'm just gonna do one. Let me see. What you not gonna do is let me catch you dating this guy.
Wait, is this for me? Like what I'm not gonna do?
It's whatever you want. It could
can
be based
I say what
whatever.
I'm not going
to
do?
It could be based on our conversation today. It could be based on something that happened
what
to you before
I am
you got
not,
here.
What I am not going to do anymore, there's a list, there's some bullet points.
Bullet point gripes.
buy men gifts. Show up at their work if they said they were sick and buy them a care package gift.
Oh, why not? If you're in a relationship, though.
Yeah.
That's
no,
a beautiful
but
thing.
But when you like...
Random dating guys, no.
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
Yep.
No, you have to
build. That.
You have to build to that.
And that is what build I am going to do. I am going to do that part. I'm not going to, you know, take people back who have, you know, made out with somebody in front of me and then left. And then I'm like, okay, that's fine. They're probably just getting to know each other. I'm gonna stand up for myself in the moment. That's more of a goal because I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try. And what else I'm not going to do is chase people. Ugh.
Absolutely. As the runaway bride.
Yeah.
He's chasing her. You chasing him. Who's chasing you? Who's chasing you? And you
Jesus.
Are absolutely worthy of being chased, and being chased as a reciprocal thing.
Right, right.
Let's
right,
chase
right.
each other. What I'm
it's
bringing,
a dance.
I know what I bring to the table.
Right.
And I know what I have to give. And that was another thing that I came to terms with. I was like, I know what I'm bringing to the table. Why am I accepting anything less? It's
yeah.
what I bring and more or nothing at all.
Yeah.
Fuck that. What you're not going to do is bring less to a full table. I'm Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You coming with some Popeye's chicken. You better get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boo.
What's your problem?
All right. Where can people find you?
This is so fun. Oh, man. People can find me. On the internet, social media, my handle is Christina Hutch, but it's spelled KrySTYNA Hutch on Instagram and Twitter. And I have two podcasts. One is called Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast with myself and Corinne Fisher. You can find that on Luminary. Very proud of that podcast. And then I have my solo podcast on all the platforms. It's called The Voices in Our Heads, where I honestly kind of use it to talk this shit out by myself. And
I love watching and hearing you talk things out. I also love your Instagram. You guys do the one of my favorites.
Did that help?
Did that help?
Yeah. Very.
I love watching the Did That Help?
Upfront advice.
It's very fun. Make sure you're following Christina and go to all of her shows. Shout out to 3636 Studios for our lovely space. I'm Von DiCarlo. You can find me at grownafcomedy.com for links to all my social media at Von DiCarlo. Keep up with everything I'm doing, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye. That was so fun. I love that.
What you not gonna do is ask me to lick your balls after you done took a shit, okay? Take a shower, okay? Thank you.
At Poetry by Mario on Twitter. At Mario the Poet on Instagram. What you not gonna do is keep playing with me like I don't pay my own goddamn bills. I don't need you. Let the welfare feed you. Please don't raise your voice in my establishment because you will be politely asked to leave. Please don't think your opinion matters so much to me that I won't tell you to shut up or that your vagina is that good. Because it ain't. What you not going to do is talk to me like that other sucker because I'm not him and he ain't me.
That's it. Thanks for tuning in to the Grown as Fuck podcast and telling me all your grown as fuck gripes.